Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Top of the key, three. Are you kidding me? The laws of man don't fly.
On 95.7, the game.
Yeah, you bet your ass it's time for Warriors this week.
Let's go.
Here on 95.7 The Game, John Dickinson back with you. What is this? I don't know, seventh, eighth season, I think. I'm going to have to run that back and count for the show. Joined again, and it's a pleasure to be joined this season once again by Nick Friedell of ESPN. Of course, you know Nick. You love Nick. Helping out here at 95.7 The Game on a regular basis. I know you were on with Damon the last couple of days, Nick, but here we are. In studio today, I'm looking at you, and it's going to be a blast here for the next 4 hours, man. Great to have you back for another year of Warriors this week.
Always, buddy, and it's always good to see you, but especially not on a Zoom screen for the first time in a couple years. So that part is great, and I've told you so many times in the last year plus how much I have enjoyed doing this show with you. The passion from within this fan base is unlike anything I've seen in all my years covering the NBA. And so to ramp this thing up again and get rolling and do it on the heels of a really solid opening win at Staples against the Lakers and then the Steph show live and in living color on Thursday. That is pretty sweet, but I'm looking forward to a whole new year.
I think the game Thursday, and look, the Warriors are 2-0. They're playing in Sacramento tomorrow, but the game Thursday night is a good starting point for me, and we want to keep it interactive. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Phone calls, texts. We got this show wide open for the next 4 hours. We're going guest free. We're talking everything Warriors basketball. Consider this your season preview show. Yeah. In addition to, hey, this team's 2-0 and it's looked pretty good on a trajectory that was set in place, I think, in the preseason. As much as that matters or not, we'll get into all of that, but they've backed it up these first couple games. I do, though, Nick, want to start with Thursday night, because being inside Chase Center, full house for the first time since March 10th, of 2020. And you look at the 1920 season was just a disaster. The injuries and the pandemic ends it. They win 15 games.
A mess.
Last year, they were sneaky competitive, but it was up and down, right? They were a 500 team most of the year. It looked like they were going to fall off the map. They wind up making a run at the end. No fans for the most part until the very end. It wasn't a full house. Thursday night, with Steph going off and the Warriors winning that game in the fashion that they did, both the start and the finish, it felt to me like that was the most relevant the Golden State Warriors had been since Game 6 of the Finals in 2019.
It's a terrific point because people from all across the country were watching, and it was a reminder of just how great this team can be when Steph is rolling and you have complementary pieces around him that know how to play the Warriors style. Because, J.D., we saw it a lot last season. You saw a team that would win games, but they would usually win games only if Steph started shooting really well.
Thursday was a little like that.
It was, but I think between the second half and Tuesday's opener and getting that win, and then the performances that they've gotten from some of the bench guys in these first couple of games, you see a little more hope that it's possible, even if Steph isn't carrying them like he did, that there are more wins on the horizon. So early on, the signs of life for this group are there. And I'm with you. I'm watching Steph run down the floor and knock down those two threes. And I can't tell you how many people from around the league are texting me and hitting up my phone, my friends, and they're going, "Oh, baby, here's Steph. Here's this team that we've all grown to enjoy watching through the years." It looked very similar, and it felt very similar inside that building with all the energy going on.
I mean, it honestly felt like it was the first game in Chase Center in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because you look at you go back 2 years, they get drilled in the first game in that building by the Clippers, lose by 30 points. The next home game in there, Steph breaks his hand, and by the time Steph comes back, we're a week away from the pandemic. And then last year, there's no fans in the joint until the very end, and it's limited capacity. So it never felt anything really the last 2 years, just hasn't felt real compared to what this team has been. Look, this is not the 2019 team. This is not even the 2016 team or the 2015 team. Like forget about all that. But this team to this point, whether it's feels relevant, energy and vibe, better pieces around Steph, the reality that Klay Thompson is coming back at some point, which we knew wasn't going to be the case at any point the last 2 years, it feels more like, hey, this team's back on the map.
And it's only going to grow over the course of the next few weeks because they've got this game in Sacramento. We'll see what happens against the Kings, who look like they're a little more improved than we've seen.
They're plucky.
They're a little better than we're used to seeing in the last couple seasons. But
and they're in a good stretch, right? Like it's
exactly.
Always like when the Warriors have played them, if you play them when they're kind of rolling and committed, it's a tough game. If you play them when they're not, you might
win
run them
25.
Out.
25, right, yeah. Right.
But they're in a good stretch right now to start this thing.
They're competitive early, and you know, more power to them, but. The issue is, when you're looking at this schedule, and the league did the Warriors a huge favor, buddy, because when you're looking at where things could be a few weeks from now, you've got this Kings game tomorrow in Sacramento. The Warriors go to Oklahoma City after that. Once they come back from Oklahoma, all of a sudden there's 8 straight games at home. You start winning those games, and you pile up those victories before you go back east, and oh boy. What's happening right now, and we're already seeing it from a national standpoint. You got Stephen A. On there yesterday saying, the Warriors, if Klay comes back, they could win the title this year. I'm not buying that yet, but this speaks to your point. The momentum about the Warriors and Steph being Steph is going to grow a lot more than we've seen it the last few years.
Well, and I think when you look at the Western Conference, and look, we're a few days into this thing, so you don't want to get too carried away, but let's just run it down. The Lakers are a full-blown bleep show. right
it's
now.
A mess.
I mean, they're a mess, and they got a lot of things to work out and work through. And for the Warriors to be able to go in and win that game in the opener, when for good stretches, and you were down there, that game felt like the Lakers should have been up 25 and weren't. And then when they weren't and the Warriors got going a little bit, I don't know about you, but I thought, hey, the Warriors are going to win this game because the Lakers just progressively were getting worse as the game went on. And the Warriors, it's like they were meeting on a graph. Right? The Warriors were moving up as the game went on. Lakers are moving down as the game went on. And they passed each other, and the Warriors won that game going away.
And the Lakers' graph going down was led by Russell Westbrook because, JD, when you're watching that team play and you're seeing the open looks he was getting and missing, and you're seeing the turnovers that he was making repeatedly, oof, that it just doesn't look like there's a quick turn. I thought it would be a much smoother transition early for Westbrook back in L.A. around LeBron and AD. It's not. But the point is well taken about that game because I'm sitting in Staples and I'm going, they're not going to win this game. They're not even close. Steph isn't shooting well, although as Steve Kerr pointed out many times, and he's right, Steph was creating all kinds of space for everybody else because of the way he was being defended. But when you're watching the Warriors, you're thinking, this doesn't look right. They found a way to win. Jordan Poole had a nice second half, and he has really kind of come into his own much more in the last half of last year and then to start this season, although he had a rough night the other night. But the point is, this team really believes in itself, and it's filled up with a roster full of guys that know off the bat how to play the way Steve Kerr wants around Steph. And that was not the case, as we know, last season.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors This Week. John Dickinson, ESPN's Nick Friedell here on 95.7 The Game, as we're with you until 1 o'clock. We got this thing open from now for the next 4 hours here. 888-957-9570. What's the most impressive aspect? We'll kind of start with that question. The most impressive aspect for you through these two games as the Warriors now turn their attention toward taking on the Sacramento Kings before heading to Oklahoma City. What is it for you, Nick? I'll ask you, because I just going back to the offseason, and you and I tend to be a little more practical when it comes to our evaluation of this team, like need to see it maybe a little bit longer than others before you go all in on the high end of maybe what they could be. And I wasn't sure throughout the offseason that they had done enough to get into that conversation as far as the top half of the Western Conference. But then when the preseason started and you watched the way it looked, as much as you're reluctant to want to put too much in that, it looked more competent and like the pieces fit better as you ran through it. And I was more open-minded to, you know what, maybe this team actually could be a little bit better than expected if they can hit the ground running off the top and get a few wins as they now have before that schedule turned. Among, though, the things that have mattered to this point, the first two games, mm-hmm. What's impressed you the most? What's the biggest takeaway?
That the bench isn't nearly as bad as I thought it might be when the moves were made in the summer. And JD, you and I were going back and forth on this dating back a few months ago. When you're adding the Andre Iguodala's after Andre had a couple years in Miami and wasn't that productive, frankly, and you're adding Bielitsa, who didn't play in Sacramento, didn't really play in Miami at all, and Otto Porter, who in Chicago, and in a brief stint with the Magic, he was a non-factor, and he couldn't stay healthy. There is still a long, long way to go. There's still 80 regular season games, and who knows what if they make the postseason. But that group, their basketball IQ fits in with the rest of the group that's already here. They know how to make the extra pass. They know where to play off of Steph. So, with that in mind, that is the best early positive sign. And then you add to that the contributions of a Damian Lee, who's had a really nice couple games to start, Juan Toscano-Anderson has had a couple nice minutes, and Moody has gotten in there a little bit. Steve Kerr likes this team. He likes the makeup of this team. He likes the depth of this team. And he is convinced, as you listen to what he's been saying, that this team will grow and get better as the season wears along.
Yeah, and there's another part of that, too, that I think it stretches the conversation. And then we're kind of bouncing around here at the start because there's so much that's gone on. But the other part that actually made me a little more optimistic, Nick, was it was apparent early in the preseason and reading the tea leaves, they're just not going to play young guys.
No.
Like, and that is like, it's because we have this conversation all the time about, oh, they're trying to thread the needle and they're going to develop and win. And like, look at these first two games. They're playing like, yeah, Moses Moody got his 5-minute run in each game. But beyond that, you know, they're playing the veterans, and Jordan Poole's a veteran now, by the way.
Yeah,
third year. You're a veteran. Like, yeah, it's like you're a young player, but you're not really one of the young guys
That's
at that
right.
point.
That's right. I think that Kerr kind of called his shot, and he did it. Frankly, JD, he did it after that first preseason game where he kind of looked over at the cameras in that press conference room in Portland, and he said, "Oh, by the way, we're chasing wins this year." Because Steve knew how much crap he took, frankly, on social media and from within the fan base.
Probably deservedly so, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, people were really, really upset with that line because that they want their team to win every game. And Steve basically said, look, you know, that's not the way we are going to operate this season, to burn out Steph to win some game, you know, in the middle of February sometime. There was backlash. He knew it. But his whole point all along has been that the roster has more depth now, that they're not reliant on those young guys.
Yeah, they don't have to play them because they've got better options.
Exactly. And you've redone your coaching staff to a point where there is such a push for development behind the scenes. You have the depth now at the top of the roster and the back end of your rotation where you don't have to just throw guys out there for 10, 15 minutes, the Nico Mannion minutes last season that we saw a lot of. So I think the Warriors as a whole, as a staff, they're feeling good about where they're at because they know that the younger guys aren't going to be put in a situation where they're not ready to succeed right away.
Yeah, and you get your work in behind the scenes, and it's better, I feel, for a guy like Moody now to play a little bit. A guy like Kuminga who's hurt, do your developing behind the scenes, and then if there comes a point via injury or via you've worked hard and you've earned it, you wind up in the rotation because a rotation spot opens up. Right now, there aren't rotation spots opened up. There really isn't one for Moody, but I give Steve Kerr credit. He is trying to reward him with that one little low leverage shift in the second quarter for a few minutes. Get out there and just get a taste.
Here's a couple minutes. We appreciate how hard you've been working in practice.
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes. But I'd add this in the context of our conversation right now, because as solid as everything has looked early and as good as the rotation appears to be compared to last season, what do you do when James Wiseman comes back? Because he's got to play, not only for his development, but he actually has to play because there's not size right now on this roster.
I want to come back to James Wiseman because you're right where I was going to go with it next. When you look at the way this team is built, and there was, look, the way that the Warriors won against the Lakers, impressive as it was, I was just left with the prevailing thought about what happens with James Wiseman. And I'll tell you why coming up here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Let's get to some phone calls. We'll get back into that conversation. Man, we got so many things on the board here.
The callers are back.
The callers are back, and they're up early, Nick.
That's right.
They're up early. Let's start with Jimmy in Bayview. Jimmy's up first here on Warriors This Week. Tip-off caller for the season, Jimmy. Thanks for jumping in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You stole my thunder a little. I was going to say they got Wiseman and Kuminga, you know, on the bench, and they're not even, they haven't even seen a minute yet. And, you know, you got Clay. But, you know, there was a little Jekyll and Hyde, you know, with the Warriors. You could see him get, you know, a little turnover crazy at times, you know, and space out a little. But I wanted to ask you about the open roster spot. Are they going to, they have an open roster spot as well, and are they saving that for Marc Gasol? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Though they filled the open roster spot.
GP2.
They brought Gary Payton II back, so he's got that spot for now. And look, there's always some flexibility with that. I think his contract, correct me if I'm wrong, it is non-guaranteed, right? Or there's that January date where it becomes guaranteed that if things don't work out, you could let him go at that point, and then you got a free roster spot.
Is there somebody else out there who may fit a little bit better? There's plenty of time to figure out what's happened with that last roster spot. I know that Gary Payton II has a lot of fans in the building, but I wouldn't be so confident that that's not going to have a little turnover here at some point during the year.
Quick on the Avery Bradley thing. Veterans wanted him. I think that makes a lot of sense. They wind up not keeping him. He winds up with the Lakers and damn near helps the Lakers beat the Warriors on opening night. But, I mean, how did you see all that playing out?
I did not think it was that big of a deal in the moment. Because in the moment I thought, all right, it's the 15th guy on the roster. It's a guy that that probably isn't going to make much of an impact right now. And then you're in that fourth quarter the other night at Staples.
He's the only guy that can make a shot.
And what cracked me up is he's making the shots that he kept missing when he was in training camp with the Warriors. I mean, JD, if Avery Bradley in those preseason games,
he'd have been on the team if he
had knocked down those two corner threes that he drilled in Staples, we're having a completely different conversation because he's probably on the team. But he had plenty of chances. He just didn't play very well. I know that he had a push behind him, and he made it clear several times in his talks with the media, "Hey, I'm the best on ball defender still in the league." But it just didn't work out for him here because the offense and the productivity they need from that spot wasn't there. I still don't think it's that big of a deal, but it certainly added an interesting wrinkle into opening night.
Let's get to Antonio in Oakland. What's up, Antonio?
Yeah, I love the depth on the Warriors team, man. We got enough shooters. We got a pretty good amount of ball handlers, man. There's so much depth at every position, except probably center. That's why they should have listened to me and gave that veteran minimum to, or not veteran minimum, mid-level to Robin Lopez. Man, he would look nice right now. He would fit so good right now. And then they should have kept Avery Bradley, who has guarded Steph Curry better than anybody I've seen in the league, and his capable shooter. But at the end of the day, they beat both L.A. teams. It was beat L.A. So just keep on with the wins, and I'm loving it. And Steph Curry, man. He's best player in basketball, man. He can make it from anywhere on the court.
Appreciate it, Antonio. And I'll say this early. You look at what Steph did on Thursday night, and you mentioned the schedule that's coming up, and, hey, the Warriors could get off to a good start. It's exactly the narrative that needs to be in play if Steph Curry is going to be in that MVP conversation. I know a lot of people last year thought, well, he finished third. It should have been higher than that. You get off to an 11-3 start, and Steph's playing like he did last year. That carries more weight, and I think he will find himself more strongly in the conversation. He made a hell of a run late, but he could get in it from the jump if this team winds up 15-5 at the beginning of this season because of their schedule.
JD, I really think that's going to happen because there was so much hype at the end of last year to exactly what you're saying. Oh, Steph, if he had just done this a little sooner and gotten into the daily conversation.
Well, he was doing it, but they weren't winning enough.
They weren't winning. And so he, by the way he's playing and by the way he's now carried them to the win the other night and potentially a lot more wins in the next few weeks, he is going to end up getting the hype that was missing at the beginning of that run he went on. And as like anything else, if you have that hype early and you can maintain the level that you're playing at and your team is winning, that is a recipe for his third MVP award.
Love the texters going back to Avery Bradley, 650 chiming in. Avery Bradley looked horrible last night. Well, the Lakers as a whole didn't look great. And how about Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, Nick? That's like me and you at about the third hour when we're in studio together.
Yeah, that's right. Although when I first saw that, I was like, is Dwight still that pissed off about not making the 75 list? And we can get into that later, but ooh, I cannot believe he was not on that list. Dwight Howard is one of the best basketball players of all time. It's just that people don't like him because he started bouncing around on all these teams and the narrative shifted around him after he left Orlando. But I would put Dwight Howard on that team right now over Anthony Davis, given what he's accomplished in his career. It's an interesting subplot to a reality show-based basketball team, because there's a lot of star power on that team, there are a lot of big egos on that team, and their start could not have been much worse after the first week of the year.
Well, and the other part is that they're also 0-2 now.
Yep.
And they're 0-2 against a couple of teams that figure to be in that mix in the Western Conference. And I think the moves that the Lakers made were in part made to get them through the regular season to where they weren't fighting the uphill climb that maybe they're already starting to be on at 0-2. But it's not just 0-2, it's 0-2 with a bleep ton of drama at this point that they're going to have to fight their way out of. That is a very good sign, I feel like, for the Warriors moving forward, because the Lakers were the one team, and I got a little blowback locally here for saying it, the Lakers are the one team that was set up to, okay, if things go right for them, you could put them as maybe a top, like, okay, they're the one if they're right.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're
if
not
everything
right.
Works.
Well, they're not right at this point. So how far do they fall? It remains to be seen. Obviously, Utah and Phoenix think they could be there. They're going to have to prove it to me again. And then you start going down the line, and as the Warriors play well, they're more. It's more of a, yeah, you know what? Maybe they could win 48 games, let's say, and maybe that is good enough to be three. Maybe that is good enough. Like I just think that where the West is right now gives the Warriors a little bit of a pathway, especially if they get off to a good start, and then you start talking about Klay Thompson coming back, which is legitimate this year. Then maybe you got a little bit of action. I'm not going to say title contender because there's a couple of teams in the East that would be waiting at the end of the line.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as in the mix in the Western Conference and being a factor, I am exponentially more in belief that that's possible now than I was even a month ago when this whole thing started. All right, he's Nick Friedell. I'm John Dickinson. 888-957-9570. Phone lines are lit up. More of your phone calls straight ahead right here, 95.7 The Game.
107-105 Clippers. Warriors have it, attacking the basket to our right. Draymond, one dribble, looks for Curry, can't get it to him. Turns, now bounce pass out to Curry, a deep three, got it! Oh my goodness! About a step and a half from midcourt, gives the Warriors a one-point lead with a minute 50 to go! 108-107.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, back with you, Warriors this week. John Dickinson, Nick Friedell, 888-957-9570. Let's get to the phones, Nick. I know we got a lot of people that want to talk. Austin in San Jose is up first this segment here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Austin.
Hey, fellas. JD, Nick, always good to talk to you guys. Great show, as always. Listen, a couple things. One is, he's going to pump the brakes a little bit on Poole. He's playing well, but I think we saw the other night he's got a ways to go, so I think we need to tamper down our expectations a little bit. He's getting there, but he's not going to be great right away, so that's something I observed. Number two, big man. Big man's got to be in the equation. Even though the Warriors are winning now, I think that's going to catch up to him, size issue. The third thing, Nick, and we keep coming back to this every year with Weissman, and I hear people on the radio saying, hey, when Klay and Weissman come back, I mean, to me, that's crazy. I mean, to even put Klay and Weissman in the same sentences is ridiculous to me. But I think Weissman needs to go to the G League when he is ready to play. They need to go out and get a big man. and then go from there. But I think this whole expectation around what Weissman is going to do. I have a question for you, Nick, which I asked Guru the other day. What is it that fans expect Weissman to be when he does come back? I have nobody seems to answer that question. Everybody keeps saying Weissman, Weissman, Weissman. But what is he going to be when he does come back? That's all I got, guys. Thanks
Austin. It's almost as if Austin was in the studio with us during the last break because we were talking about everything he just brought up.
And let's start with the fact that, J.D., one of the things that we were going through is we've got to stop, I think everybody needs to stop, to Austin's point, saying, oh, well, it's Clay and Weissman.
And Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga, he has gone from, oh, man, like, draft pick, lottery pick, let's see what he can do, to, oh, he got hurt, he's out those first couple weeks. He is a huge afterthought right now, especially after the two wins they've already put together. So I would not expect to see much of Kuminga anytime soon, even if he does return and is back on the floor, as Steve Kerr hinted at the other day.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
Like, that's okay.
It's okay.
Kuminga developing, playing in the G League, not being a part of what this team is necessarily doing on the floor.
He can
That's
develop
okay.
behind
That's part
the scenes.
Of the plan.
100% it is. He can develop when nobody's watching with the coaches who were brought in here to help make him the best player he can. But to Austin's second point, JD, it's something else that we're going to get into throughout the next few hours here. James Weissman, when he does come back, is going to be asked to run up and down the floor, to set the pick and pop, you'd figure, with Jordan Poole, so that the rhythm with those two guys works a lot, and defensively be in a better position than we saw last season. That's going to be the simplified ask for James Weissman in year two. Get to where he needs to be on the floor, get up and down and get those easy buckets, and be more of a difference maker on the defensive end, or at least try to. Everything else, I mean, Kerr has acknowledged they threw a little too much at him early on. They thought he would be able to pick up a lot more, and it just didn't happen for him that quickly. Nobody is giving up on him. Nobody is saying that he is a bust right now. Everybody just wants to slow things down for Weissman and to get him more of a runway to learn and get comfortable early when he does return.
I don't feel like there's going to be a pressure to play him a lot of minutes that maybe he hasn't earned. And I think this team, through two games, we'll see how if it continues, mm-hmm. This team has been good enough to where they're not going to have to force it. But the prevailing thought that I had off the Laker game specifically was, hey, Bielitz is playing center, and he's the reason they're winning this game.
Like, oh, yeah.
He's the reason they're hanging in, and a big part of the reason, like, that was the story. And look, Bielitz is not going to do that every night. But where would, like, James Weissman wouldn't have been playing really at all in the second half of that game.
No. No, I mean, hell no. James Weissman has a role for this team that he's got to grow into when he does return. But I would say this, JD, there are going to be nights when the Warriors need Weissman this season. He is a big, big center who is going to be asked to get up and down. I mean, we've seen it already with Looney. He is beloved internally, but JD, getting Kevon Looney up and down the floor, it just doesn't work for him like that anymore. He's never been that type of guy. That is where Weissman can make an impact and really help this year with this group. But there is no doubt, Kerr's going to ride the hot hand. The other night it was Bielitza, and it was Bielitza in that spot. And if Weissman hasn't earned or isn't ready to play, or he's not contributing, he's not going to be out there. And that, early on, is the difference now compared to where we were a year ago.
Austin in the Bay Area, from one Austin to another. Austin, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
I kind of agree with the last caller, man. Weissman needs to go to the D-lane and develop more. And then if he do come back, how is he going to beat Looney out? Is he going to keep up with the pace of the Warriors are going? I don't think so, man. That pick and pop for Wiseman, that's going to be kind of hard. Looney is a big, big part of what the Warriors are doing. I like his game. He can pick and he can pop. He can play defense. I don't think Wiseman is going to be up to the challenge for that this year. He needs one more year to grow.
Thanks, Austin. He's not beating out Looney. Like, at this point, unless Looney gets hurt.
Looney knows where to be, JD. Looney, with Looney on the floor, there's a trust factor of he will do the job. And right now, James Wiseman has to earn that trust from within the room, and he has to earn that trust from Kerr. There were moments last year where you watched James Wiseman and you went, yep, the talent is there. And if he can continue putting together some solid performances, everything is going to work. And you just didn't see it with enough consistency, and then he had the meniscus injury, and he got hurt. The sad part for Wiseman is, yet again, he missed summer league. Yet again, he missed training camp. So whenever he does return, he is going to need a lot of time to find his own rhythm around the framework of what's already being built this year on this roster. So there are a lot of questions. And again, nobody's giving up on Wiseman, but he has a lot to showcase to make sure that he can get the minutes that a lot of people believe are in his future.
He's starting this season in many ways at a point that, from a point that he wasn't quite to when he got hurt.
Yeah.
And look, physically, he looks stronger. I think that'll help him. I think being able to see the game and work on the things that he's been able to work through while he rehabs and comes back from the injury, I think there's some benefit there. But really, for him, he's going to have to get the experience of doing it on an NBA floor. It becomes tricky, though, for the Warriors if he's... How do you do it if he's not exactly helping you win and you've got this group that's started to gel? And I think that could continue to happen with the schedule that they have coming up. And then is it a situation where you feel like you're shoehorning him in just to shoehorn him in? And that's where it gets a little bit more like last year and could have the potential to be somewhat problematic.
And the difference between last year and this year is with guys like Moody and Kuminga, they don't have to play. And they can learn behind the scenes. And certainly the same could be said for Wiseman to a point. But in year two, with the makeup of the roster, especially with Looney having the limitations that he does, and the inability to play more than 20 minutes or so a game because you're afraid that he might start to break down a little faster, they're going to need Wiseman, and they're going to need him to show them over the course of the next few months that he has improved. And that is a huge question that hovers over everything for the Warriors this season, because if he has, the doors open up for a lot more possibilities.
Fillmore Mike on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, man. It's nothing like hearing JD, Nick Friedell, Saturday morning. You know basketball is back. You hear that? You hear Tim Roy? Curry! You know it's lit, and we lit this year, y'all. I'm telling you. Wiseman, though, now tell me this. Wiseman, his job is not hard. Looney's job is not hard, but I agree with you all. Everybody trusts Looney because, you said, Nick, he knows where to be. The guy might score on him, but he's there to stop him. 40% of the time, the dude is missing the shot. When Looney's there, all Wiseman has to do, like you said, JD, dumb his game down to what Looney's doing. The last caller said, I don't think Wiseman can do a pick and pop. What do you mean? He could do pick and pop. We have to dumb his game down. Now, maybe he needs to hit the G League for a second so you feel me, get it right, to get the timing right, but he could do what Looney does. He has more talent than Looney. My last point. I love to see the Lakers in turmoil. It's lit. I just love it. It reminded me of Draymond and KD. But see, Draymond and KD didn't come to fisticuffs. They get to pushing the seven. It's a good look. I don't know what's going on in L.A., man, but it's a beautiful day in San Francisco, Oakland.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I think a lot of Warrior fans are loving what's going on with the Lakers because they got one in the bag already, head-to-head, and then it didn't get better. It got worse last night when they took on Phoenix. This is how it began, Doris.
Yeah, Anthony goes over to Dwight. When Dwight stands up, Anthony puts his hands on him, and that seems to agitate Dwight Howard.
Yikes. In big, game two.
Big yikes. ESPN TV on the call there.
In game two, I mean, when you're watching the game the other night, you're seeing a team that was trying to fit together a bunch of new pieces. So I'm not ready to write them off right now, JD, like it's all over with and it'll never work. But these are not the signs you'd like to see from a veteran team. I mean, a younger team that's going back and forth, sure, but these are vets. These are Hall of Fame level guys that are pushing and shoving each other. Come on. Get it together early. Get through the tough spots and see what happens down the line. And if you're Rob Pelinka, I would act sooner than later if this continues. In other words, if you don't see this working early on, pull the trigger and make the moves to make it work, because you know that you have LeBron and AD at this stage of their career. If the pieces around them aren't making it happen, pull the trigger now instead of waiting too long.
What trigger would you even pull? Just cut Dwight Howard? I mean, what, you can't do anything with Westbrook. Like, what moves could they conceivably make?
You move Dwight or cut him or do whatever you have to do to get him off the roster.
He's movable. Westbrook.
If we've learned anything, though, you and I
know he's been
so
moved a couple
years,
times. That's true.
So many years. Nobody can get rid of this deal. That's not true. There's always a path somewhere, but the warning signs are out for a team that has a lot of issues, it seems, behind the scenes already.
Since it came up, let's hear a little bit from Dwight Howard post game last night, addressing what went down with him and AD.
We squashed it right then and there. You know, we just had a disagreement about something that was on the floor. So we both very passionate about winning. We didn't want to lose this game, you know, so we both were just, you know, very passionate. We got it out of the way. We grown men, things happen. But we already been talking, squashing, there's no issues between me and him. And that's my brother, that's my teammate, you know, that's what I told him. So I'm always be here for you, no matter what. I'm always fighting for you, we do whatever I can to help this team win. He said the same thing, you know, so we're good. We squashed it, there's no need to try to make it bigger than something else.
Yeah, Nick, why are you trying to make a big deal of it, man? It's all good.
Having been to enough of these press conferences over the years, my friend, that sounds just like Dwight had been briefed by a PR person.
Hey, Dwight, here's what you're gonna say.
Hey, Dwight, this is the script here. this is my brother. I mean, we were hitting all fields in that clip. This is my brother. I'm always gonna hear from or be here for him. We squashed it right then and there. It's not a big deal. That is like A3 in the PR playbook when things go awry. It's just that you don't see over the course of the year, and it happens occasionally, but you don't see two players of that type of caliber going at each other that often. And when it happens, it's something that lingers for a long time. Unless you start winning a lot more games.
I felt like Dwight was just speaking directly to you because you come on here and it's just like, hey, blow it all up. Start trading people. I think you said Dwight Howard needs to get cut.
But he needs to be on the all 75 team first.
Right. Get him on the but by the way, the 650, tremendous text here to just branch off for just a brief second. Nick, which Orlando Magic jersey are you wearing today? Penny?
Penny. Definitely Penny.
Yeah.
Always. I almost put my Penny shirt on today because I was feeling like I was in the rhythm to start the season. And, you know, Penny is still one of those all-time Magic greats. Although JD, it cracked me up. People were saying, oh, why isn't Penny on the all 75? What?
Yeah, huh?
What?
No.
No? What in the world? But yeah, there are not a lot of reasons to be optimistic as a Magic fan.
There
are not a lot of reasons to be optimistic as a Dwight fan right now. But if you're a Warriors fan, there are plenty of reasons why you should believe what you've seen so far. Because what you have seen is a team that is believing in itself and believing that it can still get a lot better over the course of the season.
888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Nick Friedel, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week here on a Saturday on 95.7. The game, our premiere for the 2021-22 season. We're going to be with you here for the next three-plus hours all the way until 1 o'clock as we talk all things Golden State Warriors here as they are 2-0. They play in Sacramento tomorrow. Kings off to a 1-1 start. They won in Portland in their opener. They lost last night. At home in Sacramento to the Utah Jazz. So the Warriors and the Kings going at it tomorrow, then the Dubs off to OKC, and then they're going to be home for a while, as Nick laid out, that the schedule pretty favorable for the Warriors moving forward here, and their ability to get off to a good start, that was imperative. If this team was going to win 50 games, right, and I don't know, better shot at it than maybe I would have said a month ago, but I still think I'm still in the 48 range probably is my ceiling right now.
50's a lot of games.
50's a lot. So I'm still in that 48 is my number right now based on the way everything has looked. I know we kind of have a little running joke where game to game, sometimes in game, we'll be throwing our projections like it's the stock market back at one another. I think the Warriors reached as high as 77-5.
Yeah, when Steph was firing in the first quarter against the Clippers the other night, they had a lot of wins in our little text chain.
Yeah, and then I, you know, by halftime I think it was back down to 42 or 43. But so far so good. So far so good, and the ability to get off to a good start. But if this team's going to win, you have to look at it in the context of, I've tried to break it down, 50 games with Clay, 32 games without Clay, right? If you get to Christmas, it's 32 games. Let's just say Clay comes back on Christmas. That's a nice, neat 50-game marker from that point forward. 30-20 with him is about, you know, I think that's maybe a little optimistic, but I'm going to give on the optimism there. 30-20 with him if he plays the last 50, just kind of a rough outline. That means you got to go, 18-12 or 18-14, I guess, in the rest of them, you know, without him, the 32 without him, 18-14, to get to that 48 range. They're off to a start where that 18-14 or maybe even a little better could be attainable.
And tomorrow becomes an interesting, at least early game, just because you see the Kings. They appear to be improved. You watched them last night. But when you're watching this Kings group, they don't have the talent that measures up to the Warriors when they're running on the cylinders that they can run on, especially when Steph is playing like he did the other night. So you get that game. Oklahoma City is terrible. Then all of a sudden, JD, there is the potential that you're 4-0 going into an 8-game homestand. So everything is looking up for a Warriors squad that knew that this was within them early, but now that they've gotten those two wins against the LA teams, and now that we've seen what some of the bench pieces can do and the passing that's on this team, you're seeing a team that really is believing that all is possible. And I think they always thought it in the preseason with the way the work was coming together, but the results have been there, and they've been there quicker than even a lot of the most ardent Warriors fans could have expected.
Let's get to Mark in San Francisco on the phones, 888-957-9570. Hey, Mark, thanks for chiming in.
No problem, gentlemen. You know, I think the Warriors should think about starting Moody and let Poole come off the bench. Moody is a very intelligent basketball IQ, good defender, passes the ball well. And I think they would be better suited to give him a shot to go alongside Curry right now.
Thanks, Mark. I'm not there yet. I think they're just, at this point, trying to get Moody a few minutes here and there rather than have a regular, all right, he's going to get 12 or 18 minutes, let's say, a game. It's more in the, hey, you're getting one shift, as we talked about earlier. You're going to get one
Low pressure.
1 4- to 6-minute shift in, you know, in the second quarter that's not going to mean a ton in the grand scheme of things, but it allows you to get out there. Look, Poole, I'm fine with Poole. He's the best option as far as you start him. To me, you want to play your best 4 or 5 players in that starting lineup. And Poole right now with Klay Thompson out, I mean, he's offensively, he's one of the Warriors' best players.
Yeah.
So put him out there. Put him out there next to Steph. Sub him out as they've done. Put him back in at the top of the second quarter when Steph's out. I mean, to me, that was a no-brainer that you know, Poole's the backup point guard. So he comes out and then comes back in for Steph at the top of the quarter. You want him to go to work there, maybe play a little more in the flow when he's out there with the starting lineup. Like, he is still developing. Like, he's shown signs of, wow, could be a breakout, but he's still developing. Like, I think we've gotten at some point a little carried away with the how great can he be right now.
The next bridge guy between Steph, Draymond, Klay, Poole. I think that talk needs to pump the brakes just a little bit, just because JD, Poole has shown to be so much better than he was early on, but this is someone who has still got plenty of room to grow. What I would tell Warriors fans is this is a hell of a lot better than watching Brad Wanamaker come out there to start last year, where he just had no impact whatsoever. Poole is going to, at least early on, have games where you go, oh yeah, it's all there. It's coming together. And he's going to have games like he did the other night against the Clippers where you went, what the hell is he doing? Why is he turning the ball over so much? What's going on? He is crucial to that second unit. If Poole plays with more consistency during the year and can be better offensively, the Warriors are in really good shape.
And look, he didn't have a great game against the Lakers either, but he had a good second half.
Yeah.
And he helped them win in the second half. And he is that kind of player. Didn't happen against the Clippers. I think the physicality for the Clippers was a big part of that overall. The Clippers really, really got on the Warriors physically and flipped that game. And I think that's one you kind of mark as, hey, teams that can do that may pose some problems for the Warriors along the way, but there's going to be ups and downs with Poole, and that's okay, but he is the kind of guy that can start bad and finish great and help you win like he did against the Lakers. So to me, let him play with Steph. The bigger takeaway as a whole on that for me is just if you think this team's deep now, that's where, okay, you plug Klay Thompson in and Poole goes to the bench, and now you okay, if you think this team's deep now and you're making Jordan Poole a bench player because Klay Thompson's going to start, then you got action.
You have potentially a lot of action. And again, so much of the Warriors season comes back to what type of player is Klay going to be when he returns. But JD, if he is close and you can plug Poole in that role as an instant offense shot creator off the bench, oh my, does the dynamic for the expectations of this group shift really, really quickly.
All right, 1 hour in the books. We got 3 hours to go. 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Nick Friedel. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.